If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. Book of John. We'll be looking this morning in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, beginning in verse 25. As we get closer and closer to the Easter season, as we get closer and closer to celebrating the resurrection, we've been walking through the sayings of our Savior from the cross. And we come to the third saying, a word of love. Now, when you think about the history of mankind, we see that words of love are very common. From Shakespeare's Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day, all the way to the Beatles' All You Need Is Love. We talk about a love a lot. You turn on the radio, you're going to hear song after song after song about love. Our generation is one that speaks often of love. We talk about how much we love our sports teams, how much we love our family, how much we love hot dogs. And yet, what does it mean to love? What is a word of love? We would go on and we would say that it's not only okay, it's not only accepted for your spouse to tell you that they love you, it's expected, but they would also follow that through with actions, right? And so we see that love is not just something that we can declare. It must be something that is acted out. And here we come to John 19, and we see not only a statement, a word of love, but we see such a profession of true love that it is hard to top. As we paint the scene, we see in John 19 that Jesus is in the midst of his crucifixion. He has already been tormented. He has already been tossed to and fro from different trials, all seeing that he is innocent and yet condemning him as guilty. He has been handed over to the crowd where Pilate said, who would you have, Barabbas or Jesus? And the crowd has said, give us Barabbas. Further, after they released Barabbas, Pilate looks at the crowd and he says, what would you have me to do with Jesus? And the crowd cried, crucify him, crucify him. And so Jesus was handed over to be beaten, to be crucified. Jesus was carried his cross up to Calvary. His hands and his feet were nailed to the cross. He was raised up for all to see. And yet the mockery did not stop there. The soldiers gambled over his clothes. The passerby, they chided him and tried to get him to come off the cross. If you are King Jesus, if you are the Messiah, call the angels down. Get off the cross. Save yourself. And yet, our Jesus remains perfect. We see the first word of affection. Jesus is thinking of someone else. The first word from the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, right? A plea for forgiveness. We see the second word. He looks to the thief on the cross and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. And now we come to the third word, a word of love. And all three of these words, Jesus hanging, dying upon a tree, is still thinking of others. In John 19, verses 25 through 27, we see that Jesus offered a word of love to his followers on the cross. Jesus' words of love from the cross offer to believers today a picture of his care and compassion. And so we want to examine this word of love and discover what does this word that Jesus gives us reveal about him. We begin reading John 19, verse 25, and we read this. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. We know that the Word of God is living and breathing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce between soul and spirit of joints and I'm going blank on it. I say it every week, and I'm going blank on it. Joints and marrow. Y'all know it. Joints and marrow. Even dividing the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So let's consider this passage with prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this word. We pray this morning that you would help us to understand it. Help us, Father, to be able to know your word, to apply your word. Help us to see that your son on the cross was giving his very self for us. And so we ask, Father, that you would transform hearts this morning. We thank you so much for your word, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 19, Jesus standing upon the cross. What's the very first thing that this word of love reveals to us? The first thing that we see the pain of Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. We understand at this point that Jesus' disciples had left him. We recall the story of Peter, one of Jesus' most trusted disciples, and yet Peter, by this time, has denied Jesus three times. All of his disciples, like sheep without shepherd, they have fled from Jesus. And here at the cross, though, what do we see? We see Jesus and three other women standing with the disciple John. These four women, the mother of Jesus, not being removed from Jesus. No, nothing can make her deny her own son. She stands by the cross, and we see the pain of Mary. Can you imagine the pain of Mary? Can you imagine what it was like for Mary to see her firstborn son raised up and being crucified? Can you imagine this Mary that 34 years prior to this text, an angel appeared to and said, "Mary, blessed one of God, you shall give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, for he will save his people from their sins. He will have the throne of his father David, and his throne will never end. It will go on and on and on. Blessed are you, Mary." And yet here is Mary, seeing the son that she carried, seeing the son that she nursed and that she cared for, seeing the son that she watched grow up, watched take his first step, looking at the feet that are now bleeding, that she watched take the first step, looking at the chapped lips, that she heard the first word that she could still remember. This is her son. We talk about love, and there is few examples of love than a mother's love for their children. It is common. It may be more common for a child to forsake a mother, but it is very uncommon for a mother to forsake their son. And here is Mary hurting and in pain, seeing her beloved son. Mary, the one who treasured all these things in her hearts, but Mary should not have been surprised at this. Why? Because we hear the story in Luke where Joseph and Mary, they take Jesus to the temple, and there's an old prophet named Simeon there. And Simeon comes up and says, this son will cause the rise and fall of many in Israel, and a sword shall pierce your heart, Mary. And here, the sword is piercing it. This may not be the first time that the sword had pierced Mary's heart. Can you imagine Mary's feeling when her and baby Jesus and Joseph are having to flee their homeland because Herod is trying to kill him? Can you imagine the way that the sword pierced Mary as she watches Jesus begin his earthly ministry only to be despised and rejected by men? Can you imagine the pain of Mary that her only son, her firstborn son, the only begotten of the Lord, he goes to his own people and they don't accept him, they reject him. Can you imagine the pain? And now here is the culmination of that pain. Here is the height of that pain as Mary knows that Jesus is innocent. Mary knows that Jesus has done all things well, and yet she reads the sign on top of the cross that says, "This is the King of the Jews." And Mary says, "Yes, he's the King. Why is he being crucified?" Can you imagine Mary's pain in this moment? And yet what happens? Mary, in deep pain, deep distress, watching the son that she loved be crucified. What else does this word of love reveal? This word of love reveals the compassion of Jesus. It says in verse 26, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his son, to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Jesus hanging upon the cross, not just taking the pains of crucifixion, the pains of crucifixion, which are more than we could ever imagine. The pain, the deep physical pain of crucifixion being minimalized by the wrath of God upon him. Taking upon himself the sins of the world, that is what Jesus is doing. And yet, in this moment, Jesus is caring about the people who are crucifying him. In this moment, Jesus is caring about the thief on the cross. In this moment, Jesus is caring about his mother. Jesus looks out and he knows the pain that Mary has. He knows the heartbreak that Mary is experiencing. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus looks at his mother and says, "Woman, behold your son." Now, what does this mean? Well, first thing that Jesus is doing is we see the humanity of Jesus in this. We often, when we think about Jesus, we know that Jesus is 100% God and 100% man, but often you and I are going to emphasize one of those over the other. And typically, we're going to emphasize the deity of Jesus over the humanity of Jesus. And yet, both of these are equally true. We see that Jesus was a man. Jesus was a man with a mother. Jesus was a man who had friends. Jesus is a man who loves his mother. Can you imagine? I don't know. Maybe in your life, your parents have gone through a tough time, and you've seen your mama cry. Oh man, you don't want to do something bad in high school to make your mama cry, do you? No, you don't want to make your parents hurt. No. And yet here's Jesus on the cross, and he's watching his mother, the one he loves, hurt. And Jesus not only hears the needs of Mary, but he meets the needs of Mary, right? He sees that Mary is hurting. Mary is in pain. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus directly addresses the pain of Mary. We don't only see the humanity of Jesus here. We see the humility of Jesus here. That Jesus, on the cross, if there's any place that Jesus could think about himself, the pain that he's experiencing, and yet Jesus does not think about himself, but he humbles himself and sees others as greater than himself. This reminds me of the hymn in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, Paul is writing and he tells the Philippian church, if there's any consolation in love, if there is any support of the Spirit, if you have any of these things, then have the same mind, love one another, and have the mind of Christ Jesus. What was the mind of Christ Jesus? Christ Jesus, the mind that when he was in heaven with God in perfect communion, he did not consider that something to be grasped and held on to, but instead he gave them up. He gave them up and he was born a servant. He put on human flesh that he lived as a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and he was crucified. Here Jesus is thinking of others as greater than himself. Not only do we see this compassion of Jesus coming out, but we see the perfectness of Jesus coming out. It's this Jesus who is understanding that his responsibility is not just to pay for the sins of sinners like you and me, but Jesus' responsibility is to fulfill perfectly the law of God. That in order to get into heaven, you and I must have perfect righteousness. We must have not fallen once. And yet, as we stand before each other here in this room, we've fallen multiple times. And so how in the world can we get into heaven? We can only get into heaven if we have a perfect righteousness. Jesus came to give us his perfect righteousness. Jesus had to be perfectly righteous at every point in the law. So Jesus on the cross remembers the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon this earth. Jesus understood that he had a responsibility to his mother. Tradition tells us that probably by this time Joseph had been dead. Tradition probably tells us that this time, because of Mary's support of Jesus, that her other sons, her other family had probably rejected her at this time. And so Mary is alone and Jesus is dying. The elder son who's supposed to take care of his mother is dying. And so what does he do from the cross? He takes care of his mama. We see from Mount Calvary, we see, woman, behold your son, fulfilling the law. And how does Jesus fulfill every portion of the law so that you and I can have his righteousness? He takes from us our sins and he gives us his righteousness. We see the compassion of Jesus. Not only do we see the pain of Mary and the compassion of Jesus, but last but not least, we see the obedience of John. The obedience of John. In verse 27, it says that he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. The disciple took her into his own home. Jesus, from the cross, looks at Mary. And he says, "Mary, woman, behold your son." He looks at the beloved disciple, John, and he says, "Behold your mother." What is going on here? We see that, we know from the other Gospels that John, like the rest of them, John abandoned Jesus. John was frightened and he ran away, but by the grace of God, he had come back and now he is standing at the foot of the cross. He is in the presence of the Savior. And Jesus looks and says, "Behold your mother. Take care of her. She's now your mother. Take care of her." John, you remember John, right? John and his brother, they go into Samaria and the Samaritans reject Jesus. And so what's their desire? They go to Jesus and they say, "Would you call down fire from heaven and burn them alive because they've rejected you?" These are the two brothers that were called the sons of thunder, right? And yet what's happening to John? The grace of God is changing John. John is going from the sign of thunder to the apostle of love. John is having a work of grace in his life. The word of love from Jesus from the cross is transforming him, just as the word of God from the cross transforms us. John is standing there. He looks at his mother, and it says, tradition tells us that exactly that hour that he took her into his home, and from that moment he cared for Mary as if Mary were his mother. Tradition tells us that when John went to Ephesus to pastor in Ephesus, that he took Mary along, and that he cared for her, that he was tender with her, that the love of Jesus transformed him. And how often does this love of Jesus transform us? And what we see from this word from the cross is we see that there's nothing inherently special about Mary. We dare not raise Mary up to a co-redeemer with Jesus, no. But what we do see is that just as Jesus gave Mary to the disciple, Jesus gives every Mary to every disciple. Now, what does that mean? What Jesus is doing here is Jesus is showing the relationship between the spiritual family that we have in the church. That here is Mary, one who is a widow, one whose eldest son cannot take care of her because he is being crucified. And Jesus looks to John and says, "Behold your mother. You as the new spiritual family, you take care of this woman. You take care of the one who has no voice. You care for her." And by implication, we understand that now the church today does the same thing. That you and I hear the word from Jesus on the cross and we are transformed to do the work of Jesus. Because love is always going to lead to work. Love is going to always lead to action. Here is Jesus acting in love, caring for his mother. Here is Jesus acting in love, giving his mother to John. And here is John receiving that love and acting on it as well. So you and I are challenged today to take that love from the cross, the word, "Woman, behold your son, behold your mother," and to realize that this is our responsibility now. What lessons can we learn from Jesus on the cross? Well, one, we can like Jesus, we can look for the pain of those around us. It's a common thing to be told, I don't know how many times I've been told in a preaching class or reading a preaching book, the idea that there's a pain in every pew. And we know this. There's a pain in every pew. Every one of you have your own personal lives. Every one of you have trials and tribulations. Every one of you have things in your hearts that you're not receiving, things that you're praying for, things that you're seeking, and things that are paining you. And we as a church, we must be sensitive to these things. Jesus on the cross sees his mother hurting, and he acts and he hears. We serve a God who sees and hears and acts. I'm reminded of the Israelites at the beginning of Exodus, trapped in Egypt as slaves, and it said they cried out to God. And in Exodus, it said God heard their cries, that he acted on their behalf. And how often does our God do the same thing for us? So we as a church, we come together and we're told in the New Testament to bear one another's burdens, to open up to one another, to realize that we are not spiritual lone rangers. No, that we are coming and we are bearing one another's burdens. We are looking to show compassion. Not only do we as a church want to see the pain, but we want to act upon the pain. We see that Jesus goes out of his way to meet the need of someone in pain. Jesus does not consider himself great at this moment. No, Jesus considers himself humbled. How can I help others? And this is the portrait for all believers today. That you and I would not consider ourselves as greater than the next one, the one to be served, but we would follow our master's example to be servants. How can you be a servant today? How can you be a servant in the church? Part of the way that we can be a servant is not standing upon our rights. Not saying, "This is what I am due. I am not the most important person in this church. I am not the most important person." And recognizing that I want to serve others. I want to lift up others. If our Savior on the cross, bearing the full wrath of God, can serve those around him, then you and I can serve in the pew. You and I can serve in the church. Jesus shows compassion. We can look to Jesus as the perfect fulfillment of our righteousness. We can rest in Him, knowing that He is good and He has done all things well. Last but not least, we can look to this passage and we can see that just as John was transformed by the love of God, that you and I are called to be transformed by the love of God. Have you heard the word of love? Oh, we've heard plenty of words of love, right? We've heard songs of love. We've heard people say, "I love you." We've seen it on the big screen. We've read it in books. We've read all about these things. But have you heard the true word of love? You know, the one that John speaks about when he says, "This is love, that Christ would die for us while we were still sinners. Christ would die for us. This is love." This is true love, that Christ would give up the glories of heaven and that He would die for us. Have you heard that true message of love? Oh yes, I've heard that Jesus came and that He put on human flesh, He died on the cross, He was raised from the dead, and that He died for my sins. Yes, I know that, but do you know it? Often we only act upon those things that we truly believe. And so if we truly believe that Jesus said this supreme word of love and that this word of love transforms our life, then we will act upon it. We will truly trust Him. And we, like John, will be transformed from the Son of Thunder to the Apostle of Love. Has God's love impacted our life? Has it changed us? Are you different now from the first time that you heard about the love of God? What we see in this scripture is that the life of Jesus, the actions of Jesus, the words of Jesus transformed individuals. What we find out today is that the actions of Jesus, the words of Jesus, they transform individuals today. That when you meet Jesus, you are forever changed. If I were to come this morning and I was late, if I came in, I was running a little bit late, maybe I was 30 minutes late. My father-in-law told us a story just this week. He said he was called to preach somewhere after his first daughter was born, and it was pretty far away, and he got there about 20 minutes late. And he got in there, and the whole church was silent. They weren't sitting. They were just sitting there quiet, not doing anything. And they were just waiting for him to get there, and they'd been quiet for about 5 to 10 minutes. They had just been sitting there waiting for the preacher to come in. Late. Good if I just came in that late. I know y'all would be just quiet, right? Not saying a word. I came in here, and if I said, "I'm so sorry I'm late," I was hit by a train on the way here. How many of y'all believe in that? If you believe in that, we need to talk, right? Why? Because if you get hit by a train, something's different, right? Something's going to change in you. And what we find out is that the God Almighty of the universe, the one who is all that there is to be, the greatest being ever, the one who creates, the one who sustains, this Jesus who loves from the cross, when we have a contact with Him, then we cannot help but go away changed. We can't help but to be transformed. We can't help but to see the needs around us and to follow Jesus in that action of servitude. Have you been changed? Do you know the true word of love? Do you know that God loved us so much that He sent His Son, that whoever would believe in Him, whoever would trust in Him, would have everlasting life? Has that truth penetrated your heart so much so that you can't leave here today without trusting Him? Do you know this truth? If we know this truth, then we understand that this truth of God's love does not come to us to stop with us. This truth of God's love doesn't come to us so that we are the end all be all. No. The Word of God comes to us so that we would relay it to others. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that you and I are now ambassadors for God. That we have been given the message and now we are called to herald it, to pass it off to those around us. Not just those who are worthy of it. We learn that there is no one worthy of it. No, we pass it off to those around us because God loved us so much that He sent His Son for us. So now we will love others. We will love others regardless of what they look like. We will love others regardless of what they say, how they act. We will love them and give them the message of the gospel because we believe in the transforming power of an almighty God. This morning, if you believe in this God, if you've heard this song of love, this word of love from Jesus on the cross, then we must take it to our neighbor. We must take it until Jesus rips the sky and comes back. Because this is the message that we have been given. The word of the loving Savior from the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray this morning that you would help us to understand your word. We pray that you would bless your word, that you would help us as we hear this word of love from the cross. Help us to know your love, to be changed by your love, and to pass this love on to our neighbor. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.